Hope you're all okay and ready. Anyone ready for God to talk to him in the next 25 or so minutes? I'm not promising where this is going to go because I don't know. I'm on one of those mornings and God's already kind of shown up and done some stuff that, you know, we weren't necessarily, well, we should be expecting, but not that soon in the service. But I want us to turn to Isaiah 58. And we've been in this passage last week and we're going to stay in it this week, but we're going to look at one verse and I'm going to read it out of two different versions of the Bible. And the first one I'm going to read it out is out of the Voice. And then I want to read it out of the Message. So just so you know, if you're looking it up on an app, you know which versions to go to. So Isaiah 58:11 says this, "The Eternal One," that's God, "will never leave you. He will lead you in the way that you should go. When you feel dried up and worthless, God will nourish you and he will give you strength and you will grow like a garden lovingly tended. You will be like a spring whose water never runs out." I love that verse. I think I could leave it there and just send us back into worship and we could get something. In the Message, it puts it like this. Isaiah 58:11 says, "I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. Firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry." In the middle of this passage that talks about what we can do for God and what God will do in return when we follow what he's got for us, this is what God says. "I'll lead you in the way that you should go. Don't worry that you've not got any strength because I'll be your strength. Don't worry if you feel a little bit rubbish because you know what? I'm going to come alongside you and I'm going to be everything that you need. In those empty places in your life, I'm going to bring fullness. In those places where you feel dried up and where you feel worthless, I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to make you immovable. I'm going to give you faith. I'm going to make sure that you're okay." Anyone love verses like that in the Bible? I've been reading this for the last few weeks. I cannot get away from this verse. And I've been reading and saying, "God, what is it you want to say?" You know, as we go into summer, it's a time to regroup. It's a time to refresh and relax. It's a time to take time out. At around about 9 o'clock this evening, I'm starting 3 weeks holiday. So just so you know, I'm not going to be around for 3 weeks. And if you need anything this next week, James and Dinah are away as well. So if you want to contact Liz, if you need anything this next week. And then when they're back, both Liz and James are going to be around for the 2 weeks after that. So if you need anything, contact them. Because if you contact me, you probably won't get an answer. Okay, if they need to contact me, then they will do. But I'm away for 3 weeks. It's a time to regroup. It's a time to take hold of these words of the Bible and begin to apply them to our lives. That God will show us the way that we should go. And as we go in the way that he shows us, he will give us everything we need along the way. He will give us strength. He will give us confidence. He will give us the will to carry on. He will give us absolutely everything we need as we follow his lead. I loved the line though. The line that got me in the Voice version of the Bible was this, "And you will grow like a garden lovingly tended." A lot of the time when we look at life, we can see just, you know, as we look in the way that the world lives life, it's a bit of a rat race, isn't it? It's a bit of a, you know, dog eat dog kind of world. And I loved this line that says, "You will be like a garden that is lovingly tended." You see, Matt and I are not gardeners, right? And at all. And if you ever need someone to look after your plants, do not ask me. I will say no. Okay, people think I'm being mean. I'm not. I'm being kind to the plants. Okay, and so back in, I think, April time, Matt's been really busy this last year at work, and the garden was getting overgrown. I was getting a bit tetchy about it. You know, as you do when your partner's meant to do a job and it's just not got done. And not his fault, he has been busy. And so one morning, it was a boiling hot morning, and we were having people over who were preaching in church later that day. And I thought, there's no garden for the kids to play in because it was like a jungle. I mean, like, if you'd have brought Sam, little Sam round, he'd have got lost in our garden, okay? The grass was overgrown. We don't have plants because we kill them. So we just literally have grass. That's all we have to keep. And we didn't do a very good job of that. And so I decided to lovingly tend our garden. I would like to say it was more of a hacking than a lovingly tending our garden. So I got the mower out and I am literally... I've got to stand up for this bit, right? I'm trying to do like a really sedated kind of, you know, go for it, preach. And but I had hold of the mower. I had it on my stomach. I was leaning on it because that's how much it took to make the mower move because of how much grass there was. And so like I am hacking it. And I did that thing where I don't do strimming, right? Because the last time I did strimming, it did not end well. So I just did like in the middle of the garden and I left the sides. And Math Group, who's like, that looks worse. I'm like, no, love, it doesn't. Do not complain about the hacking that I have just done to our garden. And so we decided after it was about a 5-minute conversation that we were going to get someone in who lovingly tends rather than hacks our garden. And ever since then, life has been peaceful in the Reed house and the children have had somewhere to play that they're not going to get lost in. Okay. Cause we got somebody who actually is phenomenal at what they do, who lovingly tends to what you have in your garden. They don't come. And actually it's a really good job we've got someone. Cause if not, we'd have had to buy a new lawnmower cause my hacking broke the lawnmower. Okay. So that was a bit of I got my way because we've broken the lawnmower. So that was quite good. Okay. But whether it's Math or I that do it, okay, we lovingly hack or we hack our way through the garden. It's been great to watch someone actually tend to it. And I loved that line in this passage in the Bible that you will be like a garden that has been lovingly tended. You see, God is not a God who's harsh. God doesn't come and hack his way through your life. The enemy does that. John 10:10 says this, that the enemy comes, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes and he hacks his way through your life. He hacks his way through your finance. He hacks his way through your relationships. He hacks his way through the emotions and the things that you feel in your life. And this is what God says, but I come and I lovingly tend. I come and I want to lovingly tend to what I have created. And I want to bring something into your life that is going to help you grow, that is going to help you mature, that is going to help you get on the place that I have called you to be. You see, movement, we were talking about, it's our move. Movement takes faith. And God nourishes our faith as we grow and as we move in the direction that he leads us. And what I want to do this morning is take a look at the Israelites. And these people in the Old Testament who were in Egypt at one point, and then God moved them out of Egypt, and they went from Egypt, a place of slavery, into a place of wilderness. Some may say from the frying pan into the fire, okay? They went from this place of slavery into a place of wilderness. And what should have taken them 11 days to get into the promised land, 40 years later, they're still going around the wilderness. And what I want to talk to you today about is how God nourished them in the wilderness. Because whatever season you're in your life right now, you might be in one of the most brilliant seasons that you've ever been in, or you might be in a wilderness and you might have been in there a long time. I want to show you this morning how God can nourish us in those times. Is that okay? I want to show you this morning how he did it back then. And my Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he could do back in Old Testament times, he can do today. He might not do it in the same way. The how may change, but the what will remain. What he does is the same. How he does it may change, but God will always nourish us. And he nourished them in the wilderness in every way. He nourished their faith and he nourished them physically. Every day, I think we forget this sometimes about God, but every day for 40 years, God gave them food. Every single day. Math would have loved it, right? Because Math is a bit of he doesn't like changing things. So like every day, Math has a ham butty, a penguin and an apple and a bag of Walker's crisps every day for his dinner. So I just think Math would have done well in the wilderness, right? Because every day God gave them this food called manna. And this food called manna, it's a bit of a mystery, but it ended up on the ground. And every morning they would go and collect this food and it would feed them. And God did that for them for 40 years. They didn't have to go to Tesco. Could you imagine? There was no weekly food shop. Oh, Lord. In our day, renew it. There was nothing like that. They didn't have to go and work for it. God just supplied them. He nourished them. Every single day, he gave them what they need. And what I want to do is I want to give you three facts about manna that God told the Israelites. And I want to apply it to our life with God this morning. And I want to apply it because God still wants to nourish you. He still wants to feed you. He still wants to strengthen you. He still wants to take care of you. Whatever thing you're going through at the moment, God wants to be right there in the middle with you. Psalm 23 says that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that he is with us. And wherever you are right now, whatever you're going through, God in the middle of all of that wants to be there with you and is there with you. And sometimes it's only as we look back that we see what he has done for us. The week was going great for me and Thursday just brought some kind of emails that I didn't want to see and I'd had a great morning Thursday morning and then just something happened and it just went like I nosedived on Thursday. I'd love to say that I rose with faith, but I didn't at all. And I took a bit of a nosedive Thursday afternoon and I've really struggled. I've not been well. And there was 101 different reasons why, but I really struggled. And I just said, God, where are you? Where are you right now, God? I know that you're there because I know that you're there. And I know that you will never leave me. But God, I just need to see you. I just need a glimpse that you've got me, even though I know you have. And I went and picked the kids up from school and we got home and I pushed through my letterbox was a bag and it just had my name on it. And Ollie came and said, Mummy, this has got your name on it. And I don't know if this was anyone in this room, but you have no idea. And this top that I'm wearing today is my Jesus Sees Me top. Because it just had my name on it and inside the bag was just this top that someone had gone and bought, stuck in a bag, shoved it through my letterbox. If that was you, thank you. I had said to God, God, where are you? And within 2 hours, he had shown me, Joe, I've got you. I've got you. And so when I come and talk to you about this today, this is something that it's not something that I've studied for you. It's something that God has taught me in the last month, in the last few weeks of my life. It's something that God has renewed in me again and brought to me again. It's nothing new. But this morning, I want to teach us three things that God taught the Israelites about manna. Number one, it's this. It says this in Ezekiel 16, verse 16. It says, this is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he wants to eat. Gather an omer, that's a weight for a how for each person that you have in your tent. The first thing that I want to tell you about this manna is that we each have to gather our own. Do you know what? We live in a world where we gather manna from someone else all the time. We live in a world where you can listen to, I don't know how many different podcasts, and don't get me wrong, that's really good, where we can read a load of books that people have written about this book, where we can read a load of books that people have written about different seasons in our life. I'm reading one of them right now. They are really good. But I want to say to us this morning, as Christians, as followers of God, sometimes you need to get up and get something for yourself. If you want God to nourish you, he's not always going to do it through everybody else. We've got to have a relationship with God. We go and we collect and we get from God something. This is what God said to the Israelites. Each one gather as much as you want. And if we want God to nourish us, he's not always going to do it by you gathering what he's given someone else. He's going to do it by you gathering something for yourself. This is his manna. When it talks about manna in the Old Testament, the new, it's kind of a symbol or a type for, in the New Testament, the word of God. And this is what it says. Each one gather as much as you want. Do you know what? When you look out at other Christians, when you look out at other people who always seem to be doing okay, who always seem to get the faith, who always seem to have all of that, do you know what? They're gathering it for themselves. Each one gather something. You know, we should be in this book. If you don't own a Bible, come and see us. We will find you one. Because we need to be in this book. Because not everything that I am going to get, will I get from a podcast, or will I get from listening to someone else or reading what they have written about this book. Do you know what? There needs to come a time in my life and in my relationship with God where I get something from this for myself. And I want to challenge you. You know, we're going into summer where, you know, we're on holiday and we're away from this. So what are you going to do? Have a few weeks where you don't get anything? I want to challenge you this morning. There is something for you every single day. You're like a garden that is lovingly tended. How does God do that? He does it through his word. We've got to get past the reasons why we don't. And get to the point where we say we can't live without. God has got something for you every day. He's got something for you tomorrow morning. He's got something for you on Wednesday, that middle of the week day, where if you're not, you know, if you're not working in school or you know, a kid who goes to school, you're in work this week, it's a week as normal, and you hit Wednesday. I don't know about you, but I'm like that. Actually, Wednesday's my day off, so that's quite cool. But you hit the middle of the week and saying you're flagging, and do you know what? God has something for you on that day. If you just get up and get it, he has something for you. Do you know the routine of reading God's word will nourish you? And sometimes it may seem routine, but it will keep you healthy. You know, not every food I eat is something that I absolutely love. Do not tell my children this ever. If you do, I will find you. I hate broccoli. Like, I don't like it. I think it's tasteless and it's just water that's turned green, really, isn't it? And I don't like it. And I put it on our plate when we have a roast dinner, and then it gets smothered in tomato ketchup if you're my son. Okay. But they're like, we don't like this, but you're going to eat it. Why? Not every food that we eat, we're going to go, that is my favorite food. Not every food is steak. Oh, I wish it was, but it's not. Some of it's broccoli and some of it's boring. You know, it's not quite as bad as peas, but we don't eat those in our house. So, you know, but never tell my kids I think that, because we're like, no, this is amazing. This is good for you and you need to eat it. And we finally won the battle with our son, who will eat things that are green because they turns them red, but that's absolutely fine. So it's the same with the word of God. Not everything, not every time you delve into it, is it going to be, oh, wow, that was just for me. That was incredible. Sometimes it's going to be routine. But that routine is what will keep you strong. That routine is what will nourish you. Because a few days later, you'll think back to something you read on Monday morning or Sunday night or whenever you do that. And all of a sudden, you'll realize that you're strengthened because of it. I want to challenge you. If we're going to grow as a church, we must remember that actually we need to get into God for ourselves. Words from others are great, but there is nothing like God speaking to you directly. So the first thing that God said is that each person is to get their own. The second thing is this, Exodus 16:21 says this, every morning the people gathered as much as each one needed, and when the sun grew hot, it would melt away. The Israelites gathered manna before they did anything else. And I'll be honest, I struggle with this. I'm not a morning person, or I never used to be, and then I had kids, and it all changes, doesn't it? But this is what God says, you know, the Israelites got up, and before anything else happened in their day, before they did anything else, before the day kind of grew in on them, before they began their tasks, before they began the walking of the next bit, trying to make it to the promised land, they gathered the manna. They gathered what God had given them. And the Bible says that if they hadn't have done it then, by the time lunchtime came, by the time the sun grew hot, it melted away. But they already had what they needed for the day ahead. Because what they picked up, What they'd got did not melt away. They had what they needed for the day ahead. And I want to bring a challenge to us this morning that actually we begin our day with God. That before life gets hot, before the to-do list comes out, before we've got to, you know, get in and get stuff sorted, before we get into work, before we get into those situations that are hard for us right now, that actually we gather something from God, that when the heat of the day comes, he's going to sustain us. Because Thursday grew hot for me. And I'd been in the Word in the morning, and I think I would have just crumbled if I had not. As it was, I don't think I dealt with the day particularly brilliantly the whole time. But I want to say to you this, had I not had something from God in the morning, I would not have handled it as I did. I want to challenge you this morning person or not morning person who lives on their own or person with kids. Let's start our day before everything else comes in here. Let's grab a hold. Let's allow God to lovingly tend our garden. Let's allow God to nourish us. Let's allow him in those empty seasons to give us a full life, to fill us up before the emptiness of our day sets in. And maybe for some of you in your jobs, maybe it's an empty season in your job. Before the emptiness sets in, fill it with something of him. It will sustain you. When we go into our day without being in his presence, the heat of life gets turned up and then we have nothing to draw on. I realize in the world in which we live that this is not always, you know, the kind of the best thing. And we all have excuses of why not. And then we wonder why by lunchtime we don't really know where God is in our day. It's because we've not invited him. It's because we've not let him in. So manna was gathered first. Our nourishment is always there waiting for us. And we need to get it before life distracts us that much that we forget about him. In the morning, let's get up. Let's begin. We're told that it takes around 60 days to form a habit. Why not use summer to begin to form the habit if you're not already in it? You know, and I've got every excuse under the sun and the kids and all of that. And just in the last few weeks, I've just gone, God, you need to take care of everything else. Like, don't let them kill each other while I'm reading my Bible. You need to take care of everything else, God, just while I carve in. And it might just be 10 minutes. And then do something I might read later on in the day as well. But it might just be a few moments. But when I start my day like that, it's amazing what I have to draw on. So when God gave them food, they gathered it before they did anything else. God's given us food and we need to gather it before we do anything else. And then the third thing was this, that manna was gathered by stooping low. We're told that the Hebrews would bend down and gather what God had provided. You see, God didn't hang the manna from trees. He didn't hang it from big bushes that they could just go and pick. It was at low level. And we're told that when they came out of their tents or wherever they were sleeping, they would bend down and they would pick up the manna. They would stoop low. Sometimes what we need is found in the position of surrender, both physically and in our heart. Sometimes we need to change our posture. Sometimes we rush into the presence of God with our to-do list for God. Anyone else do that, or is it just me? It's just me. Okay. We rush in with our to-do list. God, I need you to do this. I need this providing. I need this. And it's almost like we go and we just stand in the presence of God. And sometimes we just need to stoop low. We need to change our posture. We need to change our attitude as we go into the presence of God. I love mornings where God takes over. We need to come with a different posture sometimes. Our prayer shouldn't just be about our ask. It should be about our surrender also. Our prayer should be about, God, I surrender everything. I live. You lead me. Psalm 23 says that he leads us beside quiet waters. that he restores our soul. Isaiah 58:11 says that he'll lead us in the way that we need to go. You know, we can never get too busy or big-headed to stoop and receive what God has got for us and what he wants to give us. You know, my boy, when he was growing up, he still is growing up, he's only 7. I made him sound like he was 21 there, didn't I? But when he was little, and his favorite food was, and still is, chocolate spread. Okay, chocolate spread sandwiches are the like, that is his like best breakfast, lunch. He would have it for breakfast, lunch and tea if we would allow that. But we don't, we make him have broccoli. So, but you know, if all of a sudden he sees, like on the table or on the chair or on his knee, if he sees that he has kind of dropped chocolate spread or smeared it, is probably a better word to use. Okay, he doesn't think twice about bending down and licking it up. He doesn't. He doesn't think twice because it's what he loves. Do you know what? Sometimes we need to come into the presence of God and love God that much that will change our posture. Sometimes we need to come into his presence and love him that much that our posture will change. Psalm 37 verse 4, loads of people love this scripture. It says this, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We love the last bit, don't we? Do you know God gives you the desires of your heart? Do you know who God gives the desires of their heart to? Those who take delight in him. Those who come with a different posture. Those who come and say, God, I need you to lead me in the way that I should go. Will you come and lovingly tend stuff at the moment? God, I invite you into those empty places because I know that when you come into those empty places, you will fill me. Some of us need to change our posture to one that's surrendered enough to receive. The feelings of emptiness and worthlessness that Isaiah talks of are conquered when we surrender them and allow God's nourishment to overshadow them. Jeremiah 18. When I was a teenager, it used to be one of my favorite bits of the Bible. And it tells the story of a potter. And he says, well, I don't know if anyone's ever tried pottery. I have. It did not go well. It didn't look like the vase I was meant to be making it into. Let's just put it that way. And but it talks about this potter at the potter's wheel. And it talks about the fact that we should be like clay, like that potter is molding into something amazing, something beautiful. Our lives should be like clay in the hands of God. And it's like we're on his wheel and he's making us. And sometimes he has to kind of change the shape a little bit. And sometimes he has to add water, which signifies the Holy Spirit. And sometimes he has to, it might feel like sometimes he has to start all over again. Ever had those seasons? I have. Feels like he's squashed the clay and he's starting again, but he's still making it into what he originally wanted it to be. But this will only happen. He will only be able to mold us and shape us when we come to him with a posture of worship and surrender. Sometimes our move is stillness. It's not always striding. In the book of Job, in Job 19, verse 25, Job is in the middle of his life not going well. He has lost all of his family. He's lost his business. He's lost his wealth. And he's lost his health. And he's got these three friends that are not all that great, really. And they're coming and they're bringing the negative and they're talking about everything that's wrong. Anyone got those friends? You might want to kind of say that if that's you. I haven't here. They live away, those people. Okay. But, in the middle of that, in the middle of Job's season, Job is talking in chapter 19 and he says this. In the middle of his stuff, in the middle of his heartache, in the middle of his emptiness, he says these words, I know my Redeemer lives and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. That in the end, when all of this has passed away, when all of this has stopped, in the end, when life, I'm either with him or life down here has changed. In the end, I know that he will reign. I know that he will stand. I know that my Redeemer lives. Not because I know, Not because some theology teaches me that. I know because I know. Because whatever season I'm in, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he lives, and I know that he will stand, and I know that he will conquer, and I know that he will cause faith to rise. I want to say to you this morning, wherever you are this morning, know this, that your Redeemer lives. And that in your circumstance and in your situation, he will stand immovable. What he has told you, what he has said over your life, it stands. And in the middle of Job having nothing, he said those words. And as I read them last night, just as I was preparing for this morning, I realized that only a heart surrendered in the midst of trouble could say that. Only a heart that would come and stoop low and pick up what they need on a daily basis could say that. He's not at the end. He's not living. You know, the Bible says that the second part of Job's life, the latter part, was greater than the first. He's not in that. He's in the middle of his rubbish. He's in the middle of his season. He's in the middle of his emptiness. All he's got is three friends who bring him down. He's lost everything else. But he knows. He knows that his Redeemer lives. He knows that his Redeemer lives. And in the end, his word will stand. And his promise will stand. And Job makes that declaration. Do you know what? People unprepared to come with knees and hearts ready to bend will never know what it is to be led through the valley of the shadow of death. They'll never know what it is to be full in empty seasons. They'll never know what it is to be more than a conqueror or to receive grace or what it is to have God as their shelter and protector. We need to come and get what we need for ourselves, because you know what? Church ain't always going to give it to you. Your connect group isn't always going to give it to you. The person sat next to you is not always going to give it to you. Sometimes you need to come and get it for yourself. You need to get into this book. Some of you need to dust it off and pick it up again. And begin to read. And sometimes it'll feel like broccoli. And other times it will be chocolate spread. Sometimes it will feel like routine. And other times it will feel like, wow, God.